Okay, this morning, still going along the theme of what's good for 1947. So what's for us as a body. And the past messages were more focused on what we need to do internally to become more Christ-like, to become better at our jobs as Christians. But today I want to talk about spiritual gifts. I think there is a little bit of confusion about sometimes about spiritual gifts and how they work and that sort of thing. And I also had a lot of misconceptions in my head, so it was good for me to go through all. I listened to a lot of teachings and a lot of scriptures about, read a lot of scriptures about it, and then tried to put my picture of how spiritual gifts are. It doesn't mean I'm 100% correct, but this is how I perceive it, and that's what I want to share with you guys today. Because I did learn a few new things, which I think could be of value. But I think before we even get into the spiritual gifts, there is something which I think is more important than the spiritual gifts, and that's the fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit working within us. Okay? Spiritual fruit is the Spirit within us, working within us. Spiritual gifts is the Holy Spirit working through us to do things, to do actions, okay? But the Bible's quite clear about it, that if we don't have the spiritual fruit within us, then spiritual gifts have a propensity to go wrong, to be used incorrectly, to be misused, okay? Because we don't have that love within us, which is the fruit of the Spirit. So let's just check in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. So this is the warning for spiritual gifts, if you like. Okay. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, 1 Corinthians from chapter 12 onwards teaches a lot about the spiritual gifts. But it's interesting towards the end there that he has this warning, if you like, that we've got to do it with love. Because we're all human and we can use the action of the gift to cause damage or to get what we want. So you really need to check those inner fruit. And it's important as well when we bring in maybe prophets or evangelists from outside of the church, if you don't know them, you are at risk because you don't really know what the fruit is in their lives. I know many years ago, 30 years ago, we did have a guy coming into the church as a prophet, and he spoke well and that, but he was staying at the manse. And the feedback from the pastor afterwards was, wow. He was not a nice guy. He had quite some, what do you call it, lack of fruit in him. He was very hard and this is the way it's got to be done. And I like my breakfast like this. And I like my, and he'd get angry if it wasn't done correctly and that sort of thing. And you think, well, let's reevaluate the prophecy that he had because he's not showing the fruit in his life. So you've got to be careful. Okay, and it's within us as well. We need to be careful and we need to measure the fruit before we start. That's why I say we need to grow before we start doing things outwardly. Okay. So anyway, so let's go through the gifts. Now, the best sort of teaching that I found on it was that you can almost break the gifts into three different groups. And once I divided it into those three different groups, according to the way he was going through it, you don't have to 100% agree with it, but it works quite well. It suddenly made a lot more sense to me how the gifts operate. and where the gifts come from and how they are in our lives. And it sort of opened up my mind and said, wow, okay, now that starts making sense. Because I've always had this thing about when do gifts come into operation? How do I know if I've got the gift? And you know, it's confusing sometimes. So he breaks into three groupings, and then he breaks it according to the three passages in the Bible which talk about gifts, the three ones that probably everybody knows. So the first one is the gifts of manifestation. So if we go to 1 Corinthians, then in chapter 12. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are work of the one and same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So these are, and I'll go through them just now to sort of define each one a little bit. Because it's a little bit confusing because there's prophecy here. And there's like prophecy in the later group, but they're different prophecies. Prophetic skills or talents or gifts. Okay. So what is the purpose of the manifestation of this, of these manifestation gifts? What is the purpose? First of all, it's not something that you have control over at all. Well, none of the gifts are, but especially these ones. It's the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will exercise that gift. It's not your choice. You will exercise it. You can desire it, you can seek it, but it's what God, the Holy Spirit decides right now in that situation. We need this miraculous manifestation of the Holy Spirit for a purpose. Okay. And it will happen. Now there's teaching in, especially in the older Baptist churches, that these particular manifestation gifts have ceased. They're called cessationalists. So these gifts no longer operate. It was only valid during the time of Acts and the apostles and that sort of thing. I don't believe that. And the reason I don't believe that is because, horrors, I have prophesied. I know I've prophesied into people's lives or into the church. I've seen healing. I personally have not healed, but I've seen Dickie do healing. I've seen it happen. I've seen the miracles happen. So I say, no, these gifts are still in operation. Maybe not as a bigger scale as it used to be, but they do still work. So please ignore the cessationist on that one, because I can talk from experience. I've definitely seen the Holy Spirit at work and doing things. I mean, we know about it, the healing and all that. Yeah. Okay. So let's just go through some of them and just define them a little bit better. A message of wisdom, first one, is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge. Wisdom is normally when there's some sort of a situation. It can be in the workplace. It doesn't have to be in the church. It can be some sort of situation. We need to have direction. We need to have, maybe there's conflict. How do you resolve the conflict? Okay. Or in a business meeting, there's, what are we doing? The company's going bust. How do we, Greg will know about this. You know, the company is just disintegrating. And as you're in that environment, in that situation, the Holy Spirit will put upon you a word of wisdom for that situation and saying, this is what needs to be done. This is what needs, this is the cause of it. This is how we fix it. This is how we move on. It's that application of information, of knowledge. And you don't know where it comes from. I mean, you know, it's from the Holy Spirit, but it's not out of your background or your experience but the Spirit of wisdom is there and it's required. And it's for building the body. So the body needs to know in that situation. For example, we need to know where we're going as a body in 1947. So yes, there is prophecy, but there's wisdom as well as to how we're going to go forward. How do we move forward? Okay. Then there's the gift of knowledge. Gifted knowledge is one that I have experienced as well, is where, and Bram has many times experienced it, I know, because maybe you're counseling somebody and they're saying, oh, I'm just making up an example. My wife is irritating me. I really don't know what to do with her, you know, and you're counseling how to manage your wife. No, that's not the right words. But you're counseling. You're listening to them complaining about whatever the situation is. And the Holy Spirit will give you a word of knowledge and say, that's not the problem. The problem is, maybe you're not satisfied at work or something like that. And because of your feelings of dissatisfaction, uncomfortableness, whatever it is in that situation, you're taking it out. You're projecting. You're making it, your wife is the problem, but it's not. It's you, and it's because of this. And you don't know anything about this guy at work or whatever it is, but the Holy Spirit just says, this is the real problem. This is the real situation. And when you speak to them, they know, they recognize it. They say, you're right. I never thought about it, but you're right. Okay. That's the word of wisdom, word of knowledge coming through. You just have information that you shouldn't have. And the important thing about the manifestation of all these gifts, the important thing about the manifestation gifts is that people will say, wow, God is at work here. So they'll see the healing, the person will be healed, and the people who are involved will know that God did this. Not the doctors, not the whatever, it's the work, it's the Holy Spirit. And if you read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, but if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in to the congregation while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, explaining, God is really among you. Okay, that's just an example. But that's the purpose of these gifts. It's for the miraculous power of God to be displayed to a person or a group of people. Okay. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, the faith here is not the faith of being saved. Okay, it's not saving faith. It's the faith that, you know, some people, when they pray, they are just so confident. You know, I will sometimes half-heartedly pray because I know I should pray in this direction, but I'm not really convinced about it. But other people, when they pray, you can just hear them when they pray that they just have faith that this will be answered, or that the mountain will be moved. And they know, and when they speak, when they pray, it just builds up the whole body. They just know the Holy Spirit is going to make this happen. These people have that sort of faith. Okay. And it's the Holy Spirit coming in and saying, it will happen. It's not me trying to work up enthusiasm for something, or me trying to get everybody to do something. It's, you just know when they are praying or when they are talking on a certain subject that they have the faith. The Holy Spirit is putting faith in that this will happen. There's no doubt in their mind. And you can feel it. You can feel the Holy Spirit working in them. Okay. Because we all have faith to some extent. But yeah. To another, the gift of healing by that one Spirit. We know what healing is. And it is a miracle of God, and it does happen. And we've seen it many times in the church, where people have been healed. We've also seen many times when healing does not take place. So that's hard. And then you wonder why. But it's up to the Holy Spirit decides when the healing will take place and when the healing doesn't take place. And there's always a reason behind it. And we'll find out at some point. I've got a long list of questions when I get to heaven for many things. And one of them is about healing, you know. That doesn't mean we shouldn't pray for healing, but sometimes the Holy Spirit will intervene and healing will take place right there, right then, right in front of you. And you know it's a miracle. You just know it is. Yeah. to another miraculous powers. So they will do miracles. And these miraculous powers, I mean, all these are miracles in a sense, but the miraculous powers is like Jesus on the boat in the storm, where he just says, tells the weather to stop, the storm to go away, and it stops. It's that sort of miraculous power where you have control over nature. You have control over events or things, okay? So that is the miracle. That's the gift of miraculous things, okay? I can't say I've experienced that very often. I just know that when we have a bright hour house, it will rain. And I wish I had the miraculous gifts so that we could stop it raining, especially when we have church brides. I don't know why. It always rains. Yeah. To another prophecy. The prophecy here is the foretelling of the future. Okay? So this is that, there's different aspects to prophecy, but this prophecy we're talking about here is saying what's the road ahead. It's not adding to the scriptures. Remember in the old days, the prophets would speak God's word and it would get written down and it's part of the scriptures. No, the Bible is complete. It's finished. It's done. So it's not, I can't suddenly start prophesying and saying, we're all meant to have four wives each. God told me. Because there are cults like that. I don't know why anybody would want that, but there are cults like that, you know. And they will add verses. Why are you laughing? They will add verses, they will add scripture and say, this is the word of the Lord from now on. It's not that. That's finished. Okay. But there is prophecy like we've had and Bram has had prophecy right now, especially for 1947, that there is going to be a revival. Okay. So we will wait and see. If it's not, we will stone Bram. No, I'm not. Because that's the punishment for false prophecy. No. You understand, but the prophecy is, it's based on the scriptures and it foretells, it reveals God's plan for a congregation, for a person, for a, whatever. I mean, I've had that in the past small event where there was a young girl in the church who was going to go for a year into, Christian work, you know, like a gap year. And during the service, while we were praying in that, because they laid hands on her to release her for the ministry. And it just came upon me that I had to go and talk to her and tell her, be careful. She had a real strong faith. She had that gift of faith. And I said to her, because of that, you will have effective prayer within that group. And God, and Satan doesn't want that. He's going to do his best to get you kicked out of or to block you from doing that. And it happened. She was eventually had to leave the ministry there because of things that happened. And I'm not going into details. It wasn't nothing, but the Satan had his way and blocked her from doing in that particular ministry. Now that's not something that I knew. That was just sitting there and having, you cannot help it. You have to go and tell the person, this is the prophecy. I know nothing about what you're doing, where you're going, your background or anything, but just be warned. Okay. So that is a form of prophecy. Okay. Telling the future. Satan is out there to get you because you have this gift. Okay. Or this scripture verse or this, that is prophecy. Okay. So you're foretelling. Okay. To another distinguishing between spirits. Also vitally important within a congregation, you need somebody who can discern. So discernment is saying when somebody says something or does something, you know where the source is. Is it from the Holy Spirit? Is it from themselves? Or is it from the devil? Okay, and it can be very subtle. I'm just making up an example. So let's say you have a Christian group of business people meeting. Okay. So they're meeting for and praying for the community, for the businesses. Somebody will join it. If there's a person in that and they seem everything's fine and then they're in the group, but somebody in that group has a gift of discernment and they'll say, maybe to some of the others outside of it, I'm worried about this guy. There is something that's not right. It's not the Spirit of God within him. Okay. And then you'll find out later maybe he's a scam artist or a con artist or whatever. But that person just has that discernment. Yes, he's talking the right talk. He's doing the right deeds, but it's not of God. It's of something else. He's got his own motives to do what he's doing. Okay. That's the gift of discernment. Knowing where things come from, which spirit. Okay. Very important within a church. If anybody has the gift of discernment, please step forward. because you get all sorts of feed in, you know, like feed from, and people mean well. It's not necessary that they're trying to do evil. People will give feed in and say, yeah, but we need to do this and we need to do that. And that's where you need the gift of discernment to say, no, that's because they want to do it. It's not because the Holy Spirit wants us to do it. So you need that gift of discernment. And it will, when it's required, it will happen. All these will happen when we need them. Okay. And we'll skip the next two. It's about tongues. Because Baptists don't like tongues. So to another is speaking in tongues. And as we read in the beginning, it can be tongues of men or tongues of the Spirit. So it can be that you suddenly get the gift. There's a need for you to speak another language. I mean, a physical human language. And somebody who's in that meeting, whatever it is, needs to hear that in their language for some reason. So there's the person's talking in the tongue, and they don't know the language, but they're speaking in German or French or whatever it is. And then the person who's listening understands it. They know. And they're like in awe because they know that person can't speak French or German or whatever it is. And that's what we saw when the Pentecost with everybody speaking in tongues and that. Okay. And people there were amazed because they said, wow, they're speaking my language. I can understand what the message of the gospel is. It's necessary. Okay. Then there's the speaking of the spiritual tongues, tongues of the Spirit. Yes, we've had it here as well. And it's, you don't understand it, but then somebody will stand up and say, this is what you need, the interpretation. If it's just the spirit of the tongues, it doesn't build the body. It doesn't edify. You need the translation as well. Maybe it was meant just for that one person. They understand it and it means something to them, but it's not for the congregation as such. So again, it's one of those ones that people try to push away because we're uncomfortable with it. But again, I know in this church we've had it where somebody stood up and spoke in tongues, nobody interpreted, and then one of the old ladies came to me afterwards and said she knew what he said, but she was too shy to stand up and share it. So there was the gift of translation at the time. So, yeah, it was there. So we also need that courage too. If you hear somebody speaking in tongues and you know what they're saying, please stand up and share it. Okay. At this time, it doesn't seem to be needed, but if it does, it'll happen. Okay. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit. Okay. And he distributes each to them just as he determines. The Holy Spirit will decide. And I don't think this is something that you can necessarily develop or work on or go to a spiritual gifts workshop and say, I have the gift of this or I have the gift of that. Because the Holy Spirit decides and he can do it on anybody at any time. That's the way I understand it. Okay. So you can't. You can seek it, you can desire it, you can earnestly look for it, but it's up to the Holy Spirit. Okay. The next group is ministry. So if we go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I think these are pretty straightforward. Okay, it's for the building up of the body. It's for the equipping of the saints, just like it says. Okay, so these gifts are, again, not something that you have or want even. But Jesus will just put that calling on your life. And I emphasize, remember the one was the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the next group is God. This is Jesus calling people into the ministry. It's a life changing decision. You will become a missionary or an apostle or a pastor. And some people will say this is the fivefold ministry. Others will say pastor and teacher is combined. It's a fourfold ministry. If you're a pastor, you should be a teacher as well. It's not, but that doesn't matter. The point is these are callings on your life. And often people will say, I didn't expect to be called into this, but the calling was there. I had to go and do it. I didn't want to, is quite often the words. You know, it was not in my life plan at all. Like I said, it's not in my life plan to be standing up here preaching. But Bram said so. So I'm doing it in obedience. Sometimes you have to do it in obedience. Okay. All right. And then you find out later as you act, as you practice your gifting that, okay, maybe this is my calling. Maybe it's not, but, so a calling is from Christ, and it's very specifically for a ministry in the church, in the congregation, okay, to build. Then the last group is the group of gifts that are, some people will say for service. They call them the service gifts. So it's for service within the community, within the church. The one guy I was listening to, I liked his definition. He calls them the motivational gifts. Okay. And I'll explain why later. Okay. Not the service gifts. These are motivational gifts. Okay. Now these gifts, the way he describes it is it comes from God. Okay. Still part of the Trinity. So Spirit, Jesus, God. Okay. This comes from God. And these are, you could call them talents. These are the gifts that you are born with. That's why we say it's from God. It's before you were even born, God knew you. And he put these gifts and talents into your life. And then there's life circumstances which will develop, enhance, maybe bring out some of these gifts, these service gifts. Okay? And these gifts are applicable in the secular, in the heathen world, just as much as they are within the church. For example, teaching. There are some awesome teachers out there who are not Christians. They just know how to teach. I mean, I had school teachers like that. They weren't Christians, but they really knew how to explain things and that. So, but where it becomes relevant in the church is we need to apply it for God's work, to serve others. Okay, that's why it's the service gift. So we take these talents, these skills, these gifts from God. They're all gifts from God. And we serve others. Okay? So let's look at this group. And I think these are the most important group because, and that's why they're called motivational gifts, is because they motivate us to be who we are. Okay? So if you have the gift of service, which we'll get into now, you can't, the gift of helps, you can't do anything but help. That's your nature. That's what God has put into you right from birth and through your upbringing in that. You know, some kids just naturally will help. Other kids will never help at any time. And you can beg them, you can nag them. They'll do it because they're told to, but they won't naturally help. Okay? Others will. It's in you. All right? So let's go through Romans chapter 12 from verse 3. And I'm starting a bit far back because I think it's important. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Okay? So this is why we have these gifts. It's to be able to work and function as a body. Okay? Okay. I'll get into it later. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Now, this is a different sort of prophecy. Okay? That's the way, it's the only way I can group them is if I split prophecy into two different functions. So the one was foretelling the future, saying what God's plan is, that sort of thing. This prophecy is more, you remember some of the Old Testament prophets? They went around with a big stick and a big finger and saying to the people, the Israelites, the law of your God says this. You need to do this and you're not doing it, so you're going to be punished. Okay? That's the prophet we're talking about here. This is the person who knows the laws, the word of God, who knows the constitution of the church. I know that's man-made, but they know the constitution, and that's what we agree to work according to. And they will come to you after the service and say, that was in contradiction to this or this or this. And they can be a pain because they're very legalistic. If they really have this 100% of this attribute. We have all of these, by the way. It's just different degrees, okay? So that person, we used to have a person in the church who was extremely legalistic about things like that and would say, but according to the Constitution or according to the Word of God, it's not how we do things, okay? And we have to listen to them. And we hopefully that they have learned to do this with love. Because when somebody comes and accuses you of breaking a law or breaking a rule, it hurts. And our reaction is to push these sort of people away. But they are necessary. Because we can do things without thinking sometimes. Okay? And then we need this person with the gift of prophecy to say, no, according to this, according to the rules. I'm like that on the road. I like to stick to the rules of the road. You know, if the speed limit says 120, then I do 126.5 on my speedometer because there's an error in my speedometer. So I'm doing exactly 120. I've checked it on the GPS. I know. I'm doing 120, exactly. And then as I'm driving in the outside lane, some Urmi is driving at 100 in the outside lane. So then my gift of prophecy comes into being. And I'm saying the rule says keep to the left. So I will come up behind him and I'll then use the gift of teaching and flash my lights at him and say, you need to move. And if he doesn't move, I did it this morning, I'll drive up the inside, which hurts me because I know you're not allowed to overtake on the inside. And then I'll pull back in front again and I'll put my left indicator on to show them, you know, you need to pull over. That's the prophet, okay? He's applying the rules. But you don't do it in anger. I wasn't angry. I was just trying to teach him this is how we do things. Okay. All right. So, but that's the prophet. And they will irritate people when they come with this dogma, this mindset. But we need them. Okay. All of these we need. So that's why I'm just clarifying. It's prophecy is different. If it's serving, then serve. People who serve or helps also can't help themselves. If they hear that you're having a problem with your geyser or your water washing machine, or it was, they'll be round. They'll be knocking on the door and saying, I've got my toolbox, I'm here to fix. Okay. This one guy I was listening to gave the example to expand all these things. He says, if he's preaching and while he's preaching, he knocks over a glass of water. Okay, onto the frontier. He says, the guy with the gift of prophecy will come to him and say, the rules say that you shouldn't have water there. Because, you know, you've got electronic equipment maybe here or whatever and it causes problems. So please, you know, don't have water. Okay. He was just preach. Okay. Cause that's what the rule says in the church. The person with the gift of helps will, after the service, just come up and just clean up the mess. Nobody's asking them. Nobody's sorting it out. They'll just come and clean it. Okay. The rest of us are just sitting there and watching, but they can't help themselves. They have to clean up the mess. Okay. That's the gift of service or helps. If it's teaching, then teach. Okay. Teaching people, it's not necessarily standing up in front and teaching. But if somebody has the gift of teaching and it's very extreme, they will use every situation to teach you something. So something will go wrong in your life or whatever it is and you're explaining to them, they'll use it to teach how this is the way it should be. This is how you should do it. This is how you should react. Okay? They can't help themselves. They just have to show you the right way to do something. That's the teaching gift. Okay? Some people will show you at a braai how to braai meat properly. I'm not mentioning names. I'm not looking at them. So they will show you how to braai the meat properly. And it's good. They can't help it. They have to teach you to do it. And I'm glad because I like meats to be good and tasty. So I need that. We need that teaching. Okay. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. Okay. I'm not an encourager. It doesn't come naturally to me. I have to force it. But some people will. They'll hear the sad stories and then they'll come alongside and say, you know, you'll get through this. This is the verses for you. And they will encourage you to keep going. So when I spill that water after the service, they'll say, don't be embarrassed. You know, people make mistakes like that all the time. I've done it. I'm a klutz myself. You know, they'll encourage you. They'll say, look, you know, nobody cares. Don't worry about it. The fact that you spilt water all over the front and caused a bit of a disruption in the service, no problem. Okay? It doesn't apply to us because we're a small church, but some of these big churches can get very sensitive about things like that disrupt the flow and that, you know, because everything must run like clockwork. We don't care here. Okay? If it's giving, then give generously. So again, if we come back to the water example, the person will say, oh, I noticed you spilled the water and that made me realize that, you know, you're drinking the dirty tap water out there. You're filling up your glass with dirty tap water. From now on, because I have the gift of giving, I will make sure there's always a big pack of water bottles with fresh, clean water there at the back, you know, for you to help yourself so you don't have to. And they'll just do it. They'll just give. They don't care about the cost of the water or whatever it is, or it's a waste of money. They'll just do it, you know, okay, the gift of giving. If it is to lead, do it diligently. I think leading speaks for itself. Some people will just organize other people and they'll make things happen. Okay. They'll lead the front from the front. If it's to show mercifully, then show mercy, do it cheerfully. Mercy is people just have this gift. They don't care what you look like. What your background is, they will just love you anyway. Okay? I mean, I struggle sometimes with, because of upbringing, I will struggle with, say, alcoholics or drug addicts to be able to minister into their lives. I don't have that gift of mercy. I have love for them, but not enough. You understand? So what I said before is we have all these gifts within us. All of them are there. They're at just different levels. Nobody can say, I have 0% gift of mercy in me. Because then you're a psychopath or a sociopath because you don't care about things or people or anything else. So we all have some extent of each of the gifts within us, but some are stronger. And the person with the gift of prophecy needs somebody maybe with the gift of discernment or with somebody with the gift of encouragement to work with them. Otherwise, they can cause chaos and destruction within the body. So you need everybody to work together to say, no, he's right, but, you know, or whatever. How do you find your gifts? There's only one way, really, to find your gifts. First, you have to recognize that the gift is deposited within you, okay? And when it's like calling for the ministry or the manifestation ones, it happens and it can be that God deposits it into you to act at that time. Or it can also be like with Timothy, it was the laying of hands of the elders and that gift is imparted. Okay. Or brought to its fruition. Okay. So that you have to recognize the source where it comes from. So it's either God does it. So, I mean, if you look at examples, Paul, Jesus appeared to him and directly deposited his knowledge and gifts into him. Okay. Moses saw the burning bush and spoke. God told him what he has to do in that. Okay. But then, Paul laid hands on Timothy for Timothy to go and do his calling, his, ministry. All right. So it can come from different ways. But the first thing you have to do is discovery. You need to go and discover what your gifts are, okay? And the best way to do that is just pray. Pray about it. Ask for the knowledge. James tells you, whatever you ask, if you ask for wisdom, you'll get wisdom. Okay, so ask for wisdom. Ask, what are these gifts that I have? And I'm talking more about the gifts of the ministry of service. Okay. So ask God. Ask God for that desire. Okay. So it's not that I desire to be an apostle or I desire to be talking in tongues. Okay. It's a desire. Ask God to put the desire in you so that you know which gift you have. Okay. You understand? It's working a different way. Then you will desire the gift that you have that God has given to you. And then you'll start working in it. Okay. That's the way I understand this desire. It's what has God already put in you. You will desire it and then you'll start doing it. Okay. But you need to make the action. If you don't speak to God, speak to the Holy Spirit, speak to Jesus and say, what is that gift? If you don't have that desire, you're going to sit on your behind in the pew for your whole Christian life. I know it sounds mean, but that's what's going to happen. You're not going to act out your gift because you've never bothered to find out what it is. You've never bothered to seek God's face in that situation. What is my gift? Where is that desire? Okay. The next one obviously is you have to start putting it into action. Once God has revealed it to you, and you know what your natural talents and gifts are. So once you know that, you have to put it into action. Okay. And like I said before, the best place to put it into action is within the community of Christ. Because you need to develop that gift. It doesn't just, the gift is there, but you need to mature into the gift. I think it's a better way. Not develop the gift. You need to mature into how to use the gift. So if you do have, I'm talking about the gift of, say, prophecy or gift of teaching, okay? You start teaching and then you need feedback from the congregation to say, when you teach like this, it works nicely. When you teach like that, you know, so they can improve your technique, your methodology. They can give you feedback on it, okay? It's important because we need to grow. When somebody has that gift of prophecy and they can be a bit brutal with it, then you need other people to come alongside and say, couldn't you have said it this way or couldn't you have done it in a nicer way? So you learn how to change your behavioral patterns because of what the congregation is in love is telling you. Yes, you have that gift, but you're really upsetting people the way you handle it, the way you do it. So you need members to tell you. And we know that we need to develop these things. So when I left varsity, I was extremely introverted and shy. And then when I started working, I realized if I want to be a successful engineer, I need to learn how to communicate, how to talk to people, how to phone people, so then I started developing. Okay. But that was my own initiative, but we need that feedback because you can develop the other skills as well so that you can be better in your gifting. Okay. And then remember why you have the gift. And that's to bless and help other people within the congregation or outside in the community. That's why you have these service gifts. It's to help others. Okay. And the thing with these gifts is, well, like the Bible says, the more oil you pour out, remember the widow with the oil, the more you pour out, the more you'll have. Okay? So if you have the gift of giving, then the more you give, the more will come back into your life. Not for you to hold and keep as wealth, but for you to be able to give more into people's lives. Okay? The more you teach, the more you Whatever the gift is, the more you do and more you use it, the better you'll get at it. The God will put more of it back into your life and you'll be amazed. I can talk about the giving side of it, But the more you give, I promise you, God rewards. Not rewards, God puts more in for you to do it. Because that is your gift, that is your talent, and He will enable you to do it to the full of your benefit, the full extreme that you have. Okay? So we need to put it into practice, and we need to do it. If you've got a tiny little bit now, do more. Okay? And I've got my pages mixed. And the last thing is just, don't be scared. Okay? Paul tells Timothy, you've been anointed. You have the gift to be an apostle or whatever, to go out and do the ministry. Don't do it with fear. Okay? Don't be timid. Don't be scared to do it. People say, yeah, but what if I do the wrong thing? There's the story of Saul. He was anointed by Samuel as to be king of the Israelites. And he was told in one particular point, Samuel told him that when you go to this town, city, whatever it was, I can't remember the name of the place, but the prophets will come down from the mountains, from the city, and they will prophesy, and you'll prophesy with them. And then it says, once these signs are fulfilled, so when all this happened, this is what I'm saying is going to happen. Once it happens, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Okay? So what this teacher was saying, what I listened to, he was saying, when you are exercising your gift, you know it's your gift. Don't worry too much about what you should do in a situation. You're in the situation, exercise your gift. It's God who will make things happen the way they should happen. Okay? Even if you do the wrong thing, God is there working in that person's life, and they will interpret it totally different to the way you think. You'll think, oh, I really messed that up. And that person is feeling so blessed because you exercised your gift. Okay? So leave it to God. Don't be scared to think, oh, I can't do it. The other thing Satan will do is he'll point out that you have certain imperfections in your life, like all of us. Maybe you're weak in this area, and he'll keep convicting you of it so that you won't exercise your gift, because you'll say, but how can I exercise my gift over there when I am so weak over there, type of thing. Ignore it. It's just the devil putting the conviction in your mind. It's a negative thing. Just do what you're meant to do, okay? The other things will follow. You'll sort out those other areas at some point, but in the meantime, just do what you're meant to do. And God will bless it. If you're working in your gifts, God will bless it. And maybe if you do make mistakes, you'll be forgiven. It's okay. It's not a problem. Amen. So, we need to get out there and exercise our gifts. And we all know what our gifts are. Even if you're not looking for the manifestation gifts or the ministry gifts, we all have the God-given gifts within us from birth. Exercise those. And I think the manifestation ones will follow after that. As you exercise those gifts, then the manifestation ones will start. God will see you're a faithful servant, and he'll just pour other ones out into you. And eventually you might even get called into the ministry and exercise those gifts. Okay. So as we go into communion now, it's a good opportunity now to talk to the Holy Spirit and say, what are my gifts? And what am I going to do about it? Okay. And if you need to, speak to others within the church, because other people in the church will confirm what they think your gifts are based on how they see you. You might not see it, but they'll say, wow, you really have a skill with kids, or, you know, and that shows teaching or whatever the gift is. They will confirm it for you. So speak to other people and say, I think my gift is this. And they'll say, if I was to say, oh, I think my gift is worship, people will say, nah, maybe you should stick to teaching. Okay. Because they know me well enough or whatever. Okay. So please do that. So yeah, talk to the Holy Spirit while we have communion. Thanks.